Hello everyone, my name is Jean Arnold. I'm from Canada and I'm one of the trainers in the Analog Forestry Network. In this module we're going to talk about what a forest is and also about the process through which a forest develops, what we call ecological succession and the functions forests fulfill. The objective of this module is to learn about the characteristics of a forest and to know how to differentiate it from other formations such as plantations or tree monocultures. The next objective is that you can analyze and discuss the serial stage in which a forest is found and identify the functions or benefits it provides according to the type of forest and the communities that use them. Let's start at the beginning. What comes to our minds when we think of a forest? Usually it's trees, and yes, trees are a basic component at the level of presence and biomass in a forest. However, in reality, they only represent 1% of the biodiversity. And by biodiversity, we refer to the total number of different organizations that exist in a forest. What does this mean? This means that the diversity of a forest is not just in the trees. Where is it then? It's in the surrounding vegetation, ferns, epiphytes, in the soil, in the thousands of microorganisms, insects, fungi, lichens, mosses, vines, and animals such as birds, amphibians, mammals, among others. Forests are much more than trees, but the trees are necessary to create a forest. So let's talk about trees. Where do trees come from? How do trees get to our planet? Trees evolved during the Devonian period, which was 365 million years ago, when organisms and small terrestrial plants, mosses, lichens, ferns, already existed, and part of these terrestrial plants evolved into what are now trees as we know, that is, formed harder structures to rise, stems, trunks, branches, and the crown. As trees appear, a new space is created for diversity on Earth. Why? Because it creates new environments, microclimates, shelter, and food for other organisms, including the development of the first terrestrial animals. The presence of trees generates different forms of life. Thanks to the forests on the planet, thousands of species developed and the soil ecosystem became consolidated. How did that happen? Because microorganisms that decompose the organic matter of trees, the leaves, the branches that fall to the floor, are created. These bacteria and fungi transform it into humus. Humus is the decomposed organic matter with the nutrients for plants to consume. Trees, like all plants, photosynthesize. They use sunlight and CO2 to get their food. Carbon is stored in its biomass, in its body. The leaves, trunks, everything is made of carbon. And oxygen is released to the atmosphere. Forests are created, this enormous, living, and extremely rich structure formed by organisms that co-evolve together. Healthy forests are more than just trees with biodiversity and carbon stocks. I will mention to you a very important function of forests, and then we can explain it a bit more. Dynamic interactions with the environment give it power over water, soil, wind, and thus forests have the ability to regulate the weather. The forests then condition the climate so that it favors them and generate stability and inner comfortable environment necessary for human societies and for our lives. Until now, we've talked about what a forest is and some of its characteristics. In summary, a forest is a very complex being where 99% of the organs that make part of it are not trees and are interrelated with each other. Forests also regulate climate, which is necessary for life. Now we're going to talk about the process of how a forest is created and the stages of development. We call that ecological succession. Ecological succession refers to the dynamics of forests, that is, to the changes that occur over time. Forests are dynamic and continually evolve until they reach maturity. Maturity is an optimal state of stability and biodiversity, which we call the climax stage. A climax forest is therefore a mature forest. This evolution happens both above the ground, what we can see, the types of plants, for example, and inside the soil. That is, the soil also evolves. Imagine an area of land that begins to be populated by herbs and first species and gradually evolves until it becomes a climax forest with different species. This process can take hundreds of years. In this process, several stages go through one after another, so that if we know what stage we're in, we can predict what the next stage will be. So we can say that the succession process is a process of maturing. In each of the cereal stages, the size, quantity, diversity, and arrangement of the plants increases until reaching the climax state. We call each of these stages cereal stages. The five stages are distinguished, and now we're going to learn a little bit more about each one. So the first cereal stage are the pastures and grasses. Think of a piece of land that has been cut down and disturbed, or it's had agriculture there. Perhaps before there was a forest or bushes and they're now cut down. This soil is covered by a layer of vegetation with a predominance of grasses, herbs, and then gradually small shrubs appear. The soil structure shows little decomposed organic matter in the horizon A and a superficial root system. You can see that in Module 9. So the first stage is the stage of grasses, some shrubs, and the soil has very little organic matter and a rather superficial root system. The second cereal stage is when we get the pioneer shrubs and the trees. Pioneers mean that these are the first ones. Pioneer species appear, and within these pioneer species are nitrogen fixers to increase soil fertility. The trees are helping the soil have more and more nutrients. It's amazing, really, how nature provides. Nitrogen-fixing species play a very important role. Gradually, pastures, herbs, and grasses disappear, and they're replaced by shrubs and plants resistant to the shade. Remember that there are already some trees that provide shade. The grasses that need sun stop growing. Soil structure gradually improves, beginning to show a layer of decomposed organic matter, which we called humus, and a deep root system. Why is it important to mention decomposed organic matter? Because when organic matter decomposes, it can only contribute nutrients to the roots of plants. Humus contains food for plants. It's that dark earth that's on the surface of the ground. Recapitulating the second stage, we have shrubs and some pioneer trees. If you look at the ground, there is a small layer of humus. Decayed organic matter is already beginning to be noticeable, and the roots are able to get a little deeper. In the third cereal stage, which we call the pioneer forest, at this stage the trees grow and form a canopy with more shade than before. Then trees and palm trees appear that need shade in their early stages of development. These species begin to thrive, and the terrain is progressively filled with a diversity of non-arboreal plants, such as vines, epiphytes, heliconias, among others. As for the soil, the formation of a layer of humus begins. Soil structure and root depth improves. Third stage, then, is a pioneer forest. We already have a small forest, shade. Other species are created underneath, which are distinct. There is more diversity. The soil has more humus, and it is deeper. So, here we are. The fourth cereal stage, this is the subclimax forest. At this stage, the site has more diversity of plants and animal species.
The structure of the forest is increasingly complex and has a layer of cover plants, a shrub layer, a lower canopy, and an upper canopy. There are already trees in two layers. The top layer of the soil continues to develop with the formation of humus. This soil is the motor that drives everything above ground. The forest begins to have more strata, several layers of trees and plants. And then there's the fifth cereal stage, which is the climax forest. The climax is when different layers or strata are already formed in the forest and the highest level of biodiversity is reached and the forest is in balance. Remember that this is the stage of greatest maturity. It's the optimal stage for a forest. A forest in its climax stage is more stable and resistant than the previous ones. This natural process towards the climax of a forest can take from 50 to 1,000 years. It's a long process. Analog forestry is a tool, it's a methodology that helps reduce this period of time, accelerating these stages of ecological succession to recover a forest more quickly. This is why it's important to identify the cereal stage of the area we want to work on. So far, we've talked about what a forest is and its development process in a natural way. You've seen that Principle 8 of Analog Forestry tells us to follow ecological succession. Now we know that in ecological succession, plants grow in stages until they achieve a stable ecosystem. To know in which cereal stage an ecosystem is, what would you do? How do you identify it? And which principle of analog forestry would be putting into place? We have seen that what characterizes a forest is the diversity, the large amount of carbon it stores, and its ability to regulate the climate. On the other hand, a forest plantation does not follow the ecological succession and does not meet these characteristics. They are tree crops. Where they include one, two, or very few species all of the same age. It's much like an agriculture crop. It's not diverse, it doesn't have strata, the amount of carbon is less than in a natural forest, and it doesn't have the ability or the capacity to regulate climate. The importance of the forest functions. Now let's look at the importance of forests. Well, they fulfill vital functions for the existence of life on our planet. Forests are directly related to the water cycle. They generate rain. Each tree carries moisture from the soil to the sky. They are like a pump or motor that raises the water from the ground and then throws it away as steam through its leaves. This cloud of humidity contributes to the creation of rains that can fall on the forest itself, or also in distant areas, since the humidity moves due to the action of the winds. The amount of water in rivers, the water reservoirs of many cities, tropical glaciers, etc. In other words, the lives of millions depend on the water that is generated to a large extent by forests. They regulate the local and global climate. I've already mentioned that forests generate a friendly climate. Forests influence the local climate, the rain cycle, relative humidity and temperature. In addition, if we talk about forests as a whole, they work as an air conditioner for the planet, since they cool the surface of the earth with the humidity they generate. On the other hand, by capturing CO2, they contribute to the reduction of this gas in the atmosphere, which is one of the main causes of the greenhouse effect. You can go into any small village or town and measure the temperature of a house that has trees or a yard that has trees around it, and you'll find that it's much cooler than a place where they've cut down all the trees. Another function of forest is to seep water into the subsoil, functioning as a sponge and preventing floods and modulating hydrological flows. Another function is the well-being of the soil. We've already mentioned the relationship between the soil and the forest. The soil evolves and grows as more organic matter exists, like a forest. Each species of trees provide different chemical components that interact and feed the soil. And the forest, in turn, feeds from the soil. But also, thanks to the forest, the soil remains protected from the action of the wind and rain. And if the forest didn't exist, the soils are lost, eroded, and also the cycle of organic matter is lost. Forests conserve soils. Forests provide products and resources to local community. Fruits, medicines, animals to hunt, tools, construction materials. Forests are home to culture. The identity of indigenous communities and their ways of life depend in many cases on the forest. Forests also constitute the largest genetic bank of medicinal and food species. That is to say, there is much in a forest to discover, many organisms that haven't been studied yet. We could find local knowledge and ancestral uses, among others. They also host the greatest biodiversity, animals and plants, microorganisms among terrestrial ecosystems. Healthy forests are a barrier to the transmission of viruses from wildlife to humans. Less forest means more risk of contracting diseases from wild animals. For all these reasons, it's important to maintain natural forests and observe them, study them, walk out in them, enjoy them, to know how to restore these wonderful ecosystems in a productive way, that is, to create new forests for the benefit of our communities and for the planet as well. Thank you very much, dear friends. With this, we finished Module 3.